The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support to people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. From ACB.org, ACB announces 2024 Audio Description Project Awards. Alexandria, Virginia, July 10, 2024. The Audio Description Project, ADP, is pleased to announce the 2024 winners of the ADP Awards. The awards honor people and organizations that make outstanding contributions to the quality, availability, and understanding of audio description. This year's winners span entertainment, education, and information, and recognize recognize achievement in digital access and live delivery of AD across a range of platforms and venues. The ADP applauds the dedication to and advancement of inclusion exhibited by the award recipients. Access the award announcement video at https://youtube.be/udspayg29s8. The winners are media. Jehovah's Witnesses initiated an audio description program over the last 4 years. Staff and volunteers work with members of the blindness community throughout the AD creation process, and audio description is available in more than 100 languages. Performing Arts Organization. The Audio Description Learning Network, ADLN, is a consortium of 4 Philadelphia area theaters, People's Light, 1812 Productions, Hedgerow, and the Wilma. The ADLN trains diverse audio describers who are teamed with members of the blindness community so they can get immediate feedback and learn from their future patrons. Performing Arts Individual. Beth Crabb has been a member of the audio description team at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center in Nashville since its inception in 2004. She prepares meticulously for each performance she describes, documenting the music, costumes, set design, and cast of characters, and she's happy to meet with patrons to answer questions. Special Achievement in Performing Arts. Think Outside the Vox, VOX, works to revolutionize the diversity and accessibility in the arts. Based in the Boston area, Vox trains culturally competent describers from diverse communities. Teamed with blind trainers and experts, the describers learn the best practices for creating AD for live theater and museums. Public Sector. The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism developed Alcohol and Your Brain, a module that educates young audiences about alcohol's effects on the brain. The audio-described version will be included in NIH Section 508 accessibility trainings to demonstrate effective AD and captioning. It has been viewed more than 3,400 times on YouTube. Dr. Margaret Fonsteel, PhanSteel, Memorial Award for Audio Description Research and Development. Kyle Sisk, SISK, Chief Technology Officer at the Described and Captioned Media Program, has led a number of technological advances, including the development of multiple accessible platforms. He introduced a process that ensures audio description script accuracy during recording and editing, and then feeds into an interactive transcript feature. Congratulations to all the 2024 ADP Award recipients. From disabilityrightsnc.org, transition to tailored plans, what families and advocates need to know. Don't miss our recent webinar hosted with CLT, Center for Legal Advocacy, and NEHELP on tailored plans. Tailored plans launched July 1st. Tailored plans cover doctor visits, prescription drugs, and services for serious mental health, severe substance use, I/DD, and TBI, all on one plan. Watch the recording at the hot link. Find out more about tailored plans at a different hot link. Didn't get a welcome packet? If you think you should be in a tailored plan, call the NC Medicaid Enrollment Broker at 1-833-870-5500. TTY711 or RelayNC.com. You may also need to update your address. For free, confidential support and info about your rights, call the Medicaid Ombudsman at 877-201-3750 from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every Monday to Friday. From Yahoo.com, active ingredient in Ozempic linked to condition that causes blindness. Dateline Monday, July 8th, 3:27 p.m. Eastern Time. A new study has linked the active ingredient in Novo Nordisk's Ozempic and Wegovy to an eye condition that can cause blindness, a new study has found. In the journal JAMA Ophthalmology, Harvard scientists found that patients who had been prescribed semaglutide, a glucagon-like peptide 1, GLP-1 agonist, believed to mimic the stomach's feeling of fullness, were between 4 and 7 times as likely to develop non-arteritic anterior ischemic optic neuropathy, a condition that blocks blood flow to eye nerves, than people prescribed other weight loss drugs. Better known as NAION, the blockage effect of this condition that only affects 10 out of every 100,000 people can ultimately result in blindness. And as The Guardian notes, there's no known treatment for it either. To get to this jarring conclusion, the Harvard researchers analyzed data from more than 16,000 patients who received treatment at its Mass Eye and Ear Hospital over a 6-year period. Of those patients, 710 had type 2 diabetes, 194 of whom had been prescribed semaglutide, and 975 were overweight, 361 of whom had been prescribed semaglutide. For the subjects with type 2 diabetes, which is nominally required for an Ozempic prescription, there were 17 NAION events, compared to only 6 who had been prescribed a different diabetes drug. Calculated into percentages, that means that 8.9% of people in the semaglutide cohort experienced NAION events, while just 1.8% of people on other drugs had them. Among those who were overweight, the results were even more stark. Of those 361 overweight patients had been prescribed semaglutide, 20 experienced NAION events over a 3-year period, while the other 614 who were prescribed a different weight loss medication suffered only 3. In other words, those prescribed semaglutide were more than 7 times as likely to have NAION events compared to those on other medications. Overall, 6.7% of those on semaglutide had NAION events compared to just 0.8% for overweight people on other weight loss drugs. In a statement to The Guardian, Novo Nordisk, the Danish drug maker behind Ozempic and Wegovy, said that although it takes all reports about adverse events from use of our medicines very seriously, NAION is nevertheless not listed as a known adverse drug reaction in the summary of product characteristics. With so many other medical and mental health issues becoming associated with semaglutide, however, scrutiny is growing. Given the rapid increase in semaglutide use and its possible licensing for a range of problems other than obesity and type 2 diabetes, this issue deserves further study. Queen's University Belfast physiology professor Graham McGeown, MCGEOWN, told The Guardian, but possible drug side effects always need to be balanced against likely benefits. More on semaglutide under Scary Counterfeit Ozempic Contains the Wrong Drug. That's a different hot link. From Cleveland.com, Case Western Reserve University tests treatment to prevent blindness caused by inherited eye disease and other brain diseases. Article by Gretchen Kuda Kroon, K-R-O-E-N, from Cleveland.com. Case Western Reserve University is hoping to offer the first therapy for an inherited eye disease leading to blindness. Shigemi Matsuyama, an associate professor of ophthalmology and visual sciences at the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine, has received a $1.5 million grant from the Foundation Fighting Blindness to test a possible oral medication for the genetic eye disease, retinitis pigmentosa. Plan approved to refurbish, RP causes blindness when the cells in the retina that respond to light, called photoreceptors, die. It can be caused by a variety of underlying genetic mutations, for many of which no therapy is available. The new therapy, say researchers, would address many RP disease manifestations, regardless of the underlying genetic mutation. In a previous foundation-funded drug discovery program from 2017 to 20, Matsuyama and his research team developed a series of medications that prevent the death of these cells when taken by mouth. Known as cytoprotective small compounds, they work by blocking the activation of a protein that contributes to cell death, called BAX, B-A-X. Their lead compound prevented retinal cell death and vision loss in four mouse models of inherited retinal disease. The goal of the studies is to provide preclinical data for formulations given as oral drugs and eye drops that would support U.S. Food and Drug Administration clinical trials. Our primary objective is bringing a CPSC-based therapeutic to RP patients who are suffering from the fear of blindness, Matsuyama said. We believe it can serve as the basis of an oral medicine to prevent blindness in RP patients, regardless of the underlying gene mutations. The same protein is also a major cause of various cell death observed in other neurodegenerative conditions, including glaucoma, ischemia, reperfusion injury, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS, and Alzheimer's disease. Therefore, he said, there is significant potential to expand the application of our BAX-inhibiting therapeutic for additional uses. The latest headlines from DisabilityScoop.com, the premier source for developmental disability news. Feds weighing changes to sub-minimum wage program. Federal officials are rethinking the government program that allows people with disabilities to be paid less than minimum wage, with a new proposal expected soon. July 11, 2024. For students in special ed, transitional schools bridge gap between high school and employment. The schools provide a bridge from school to the workforce through specialized instruction, social-emotional learning, and opportunities to complete paid work at local companies. July 10, 2024. Study warns against too much autism intervention. When it comes to autism intervention, new research suggests that more may not always be better. July 9, 2024. Medicaid for millions in America hinges on systems plagued by errors. The technology has generated notices with errors, sent Medicaid paperwork to the wrong addresses, and been frozen for hours at a time, according to state audits, court documents, and interviews. July 9, 2024. Microsoft settles allegations of disability leave discrimination. Microsoft will pay a $14.4 million settlement after being accused of retaliation and discrimination against workers who take parental or disability leave, or leave to take care of a family member. July 9, 2024. Supreme Court ruling may upend disability rights protections, advocates fear. Countless federal regulations ensuring the rights of people with disabilities could face legal challenges after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned a 40-year-old precedent. July 8, 2024. Education Department. More states are failing to meet special education requirements. States are increasingly struggling to meet their obligations under IDEA, with federal officials labeling a growing number of states as deficient multiple years in a row. June 28, 2024. Fossils suggest Neanderthals cared for a child with Down syndrome. A fossilized ear bone is providing evidence that a Neanderthal child with Down syndrome lived to be at least 6 years old and was cared for by others. June 28, 2024. Social Security and SSI increase may disappoint. Social Security and SSI benefits are expected to rise again next year, according to a new estimate, but probably not by as much as last time. Dateline June 27, 2024. With growing demand, Yelp adds accessibility details to business listings. Yelp says it is dramatically increasing information about accessibility in listings on its site for restaurants and other locations, while also pushing businesses to become more inclusive. Dateline June 26, 2024. Special education enrollment hits all-time high. There are a record number of students with disabilities in the nation's schools, new data shows. Dateline June 25, 2024. Quiet zones, fidgets, and earmuffs. Parades and festivals add sensory accommodations. From state fairs to local parades to pride festivals, events are adding quiet areas and other tools for those with autism and sensory issues. Dateline June 25, 2024. From fightingblindness.org, Karen Petru, P-E-T-R-O-U, appointed as board chair of the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Dateline Columbia, Maryland, June 27th. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, the driving force in the global development of treatments and cures for blinding diseases, announced today the appointment of Karen Petru as board chair effective July 1, 2024. Petru succeeds David Brint, who is retiring after 8 years of dedicated service. Petru's appointment marks a significant milestone as she becomes the third person to hold the position in the Foundation's 52-year history and is the first female board chair. We are thrilled to welcome Karen Petru as our new board chair, says Jason Menzo, CEO of the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Karen's extensive experience in both the financial services industry and her deep personal connection to our mission make her the ideal leader to guide us forward. Her strategic vision, combined with her passionate advocacy for those affected by blinding diseases, positions her perfectly to lead the Foundation into a new era of innovation and progress. Notably, her work alongside her late husband Basil on H.R. 3437, the Long-Term Opportunities for Advancing New Studies, LOANS, for Biomedical Research Act, has the potential to advance many more treatments and cures, including those for eye and retinal conditions. I also want to extend my heartfelt gratitude to David Brint for his exceptional leadership and the lasting impact he has made on our organization. Karen Petru, a seasoned leader and advocate, brings a wealth of experience to her new role. Diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa at 18, she has been a passionate supporter of the Foundation's mission since joining the board in 2006. Petru is the co-founder and managing partner of Federal Financial Analytics Incorporated, a firm providing analytical and advisory services on legislative, regulatory, and public policy issues affecting financial services companies doing business in the U.S. and abroad. She has also been a prominent voice in the financial services industry, testifying before the U.S. Congress, and has spoken before various U.S. Federal Reserve Banks, the European Central Bank, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, the International Monetary Fund, the Clearing House, the Bank Policy Institute, the Institute of International Bankers, the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association, the Japanese Diet, and many other governmental, industry, and academic groups. I am deeply honored to step into the role of board chair for the Foundation Fighting Blindness, said Petru. Having witnessed firsthand the transformative work of the Foundation, I am excited to continue building on the incredible progress made under David's leadership. Together, we will accelerate the development of treatments and cures for blinding diseases. In her new role, Petru will lead the board and ensure strategic planning and oversight, set high governance standards, and ensure the organization continues to expand revenue channels to drive new milestones and achievements for the mission. She has been serving as executive vice chair of the board since July of 2023, working closely with Brint, the board of directors, and the foundation's executive team, preparing for her newly appointed role. Serving as the board chair for the Foundation Fighting Blindness has been a great honor. I'm immensely proud of what we have accomplished and confident that Karen is the perfect successor, says David Brint. Her strategic vision and dedication will undoubtedly propel the Foundation to new heights, and I look forward to supporting her and continuing to be highly engaged as a member of the board. Petru has also previously served on boards of various banking organizations and now sits as a director on the board of the Fidelco Guide Dog Foundation. Her leadership is anticipated to bring fresh perspectives and continued progress in the fight against blinding diseases. About the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Established in 1971, The Foundation Fighting Blindness is the world's leading private funding source for retinal degenerative disease research. The foundation has raised more than $915 million toward its mission of accelerating research for preventing, treating, and curing blindness caused by the spectrum of blinding retinal diseases, including retinitis pigmentosa, macular degeneration, and Usher syndrome. Visit fightingblindness.org for more information. Media contact, Chris Adams, Vice President, Marketing and Communications, email cadams@fightingblindness.org or call 410-423-0585. Also from fightingblindness.org, Genentech to reintroduce Susvimo for wet AMD. That's S-U-S-V-I-M-O. Genentech is reintroducing Susvimo, its port delivery system, PDS, for the treatment of wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD. The PDS, a refillable capsule the size of a rice grain, provides continual release of ranibizumab, R-A-N-I-B-I-Z-U-M-A-B, a protein that blocks the growth of vision-robbing leaky blood vessels, which are the hallmarks of wet AMD. The PDS is implanted at the surface of the eye during a one-time outpatient surgical procedure. The PDS may be refilled as infrequently as twice a year, thereby reducing the treatment burden for patients. Other wet AMD therapies require regular injections into the vitreous, the soft gel in the middle of the eye. Genentech plans to make Susvimo available in the U.S. to retina specialists and their patients with wet AMD in the coming weeks. Susvimo was approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, in October 2021, but was voluntarily recalled by Genentech in October 2022 after reports of the dislodgement of the device's septum, a self-sealing interface through which ranibizumab is administered into the implant, both prior to insertion and during refills. The FDA has approved a post-approval supplement to the biologics license application for Susvimo, reflecting component-level updates made to the ocular implant and refill needle. AMD is the leading cause of blindness in people 55 and older in developed countries, affecting more than 10 million people in the U.S. More than 1 million people in the U.S. have wet AMD. Major AMD risk factors include advancing age, smoking, and genetics. And lastly, from fightingblindness.org, Blind Guy Biking, Enduring the Trails for Stargardt. Chris Smith describes himself as an endurance athlete and a mountain bike coach, but Chris admits that years ago he never would have imagined the path he's now navigating. Chris had always loved mountain biking growing up, but he stopped riding in college. In 2000, Chris was diagnosed with Stargardt disease, which was a complete shock. Although Stargardt disease is an inherited disease, no one in his family had ever been affected before him. And when Chris lost his driver's license in 2009 after being declared legally blind, he turned to his bicycle, which became more than a mode of transportation. It became his lifeline. Every morning, regardless of weather or season, Chris mounted his bike. He pedaled to work, to daycare, to the grocery store, each ride a testament to his resilience. His coworkers noticed his dedication, and they invited him on weekend rides, and Chris eagerly accepted. He then started searching for more challenges and got competitive in races. At first, I spent more time crashing than riding, but eventually it started to click, and with help from advances in bike technology, I progressed and was eventually able to hold my own when riding with fully sighted riders, says Chris. When participating in a group ride, Chris doesn't often tell anyone about his visual impairments. A lot of times it isn't an issue, especially on something where we have smoother terrain or I know the people, says Chris. I just follow along with everyone else and no one can even tell. Now, 15 years after being declared legally blind and getting back on the bike, Chris is honoring this milestone by taking a solo challenge called the Tour Divide. It's a grueling race along the Great Divide mountain bike route from Banff, Canada to the Mexican border. It's the longest mountain bike route in the world, stretching 2,745 miles. Chris aims to conquer it in just 35 days. I'm both terrified and excited. I mean, it's objectively monstrous, says Chris. The idea of spending over a month riding a bike every day, 80 to 120 miles a day, on dirt over mountain passes, is huge. On the other hand, I get to ride my bike every day and get to do it in some of the most spectacular places. So I feel pretty lucky I get to do this. Chris's bike, which is adapted for his visual impairments, has sports wide tires and suspension to absorb unseen bumps. He'll also use a GPS computer with an easy to read display perched up high, so he can easily see it while he rides. Alone on the trail, he'll navigate both physical and mental challenges. I'll be thinking about family, friends, and the support I have back home, and all I'm able to do, says Chris. Before I was diagnosed with Stargardt, I couldn't ride a bike for more than a couple of miles. And now, to be taking on a challenge like this, that's something that will really motivate me, just being able to reflect on where I've been and where I'm going. Chris is also riding for another purpose, to raise funds and awareness for the Foundation Fighting Blindness. They're the organization that is driving the research that's on the leading edge. They're pushing new technologies and new options for people, says Chris. That's why I've chosen to do my fundraising and awareness for the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Chris started the Tour Divide on June 14th and will be filming a video travelogue along the way for supporters to follow his journey. Ultimately, Chris hopes his fundraiser will continue to further the Foundation's mission of driving treatments and cures for diseases like Stargardt disease. When I was diagnosed 24 years ago, they told me not to expect any significant research into Stargardt, says Chris. Now there's so much research going on, and I can't keep track of everything. So it's exciting. I'm really optimistic about the future of potential treatments for myself. To follow Chris's ride and support his fundraiser for the foundation, visit blindguybiking.org. Start your own DIY fundraiser to fight blinding diseases. This Beacon story is sponsored by Johnson & Johnson. From the Assistive Technology Community for the Blind and Visually Impaired Facebook group, posted by Luke Patterson. Just like other aspects of AI, there's some work to do, but I just started playing around with these Ray-Ban Meta glasses, and OMG. I was also screwing around with having my AirPods in at the same time or without, and having my phone in my hand and without. I was essentially able to use Meta Voice commands and Siri VoiceOver with two different cameras and two different microphones. Now you start adding some of the base blindness apps like Be My Eyes, PickyBot, and the audio in and out of the ChatGPT app, and it's giving me a nerd headache, and a very good one. I'm becoming more and more interested in accessibility globally because I think it affects everyone at the human level first as we age, and then you just add issues like blindness or anything else. All of this tech is free or very affordable. I know there's problems and people point them out over and over, but having the ability to have multiple AI computers analyze things and give me information back in different ways, I don't have to worry about whether it's accessible anymore. I literally just went into my closet to pull out a dress shirt as to what color it was, the color of pants to wear with it, and then quickly read the directions on some Tylenol, all hands free, without my phone. There are two comments worth reading on the post, but I've run out of time for this week's episode of Vision News. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. See you next week.